Tom Wolfe, considered to be one of our great American writers, died last May at the age of 88 years. In 1970, he wrote a book about the Mercury 7 astronauts called, his book was entitled The Right Stuff, a title which soon came to be used to describe anyone with tremendous bravery, mental acuity, and physical strength. In the book, the man with the greatest amount of the right stuff was actually a test pilot who preceded the Mercury astronauts. Chuck Yeager was the first person to fly at supersonic speed. Another novel came along a few years later entitled A Man in Full, which centered on an Atlanta real estate power named Charlie Croker. The title of the novel came from a song that Charlie liked, one that focused on his powerful physique. Charlie Croker was a man in full, the title. He had a back like a Jersey bull. Charlie Croker, Charlie Croker, Charlie Croker. But even though Charlie seemed like a man with the right stuff, he's found himself facing bankruptcy. His fame as a former Georgia Tech football star could not save him, nor could his reputation as a businessman, nor could his massive neck and broad shoulders. You see, it takes more than fame, business sense, and physical strength to be a true man in full. Luke tells us about the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan River, a fitting gospel for this Sunday called the Baptism of the Lord. John the Baptist was not a man who was known for his powerful physique or business sense. He was noted for his unusual fashion, attire consisting of clothes of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And his message challenged people to bear the fruits worthy of repentance. Instead of charming the crowds of people around him, he called them a brood of vipers. Surprisingly, people were attracted to John. And Luke tells us that all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. They thought that this camel's hair-wearing wild man had the right stuff and that he might just be the anointed one whom God was going to send to save his people. The crowd was asking, could this locust and wild honey-eating prophet be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? No, John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. John may have had the right stuff, but he was not a true man in full. Another was on his way, according to John, and he would do more than offer a baptism with water, one that was tied to repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as John proclaimed. The coming man in full would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His baptism would include the purification of the Spirit and a refinement by fire. If you think John's approach was a shock to the system, wait till you see what the next guy does. The people gathered at the Jordan River were probably a bit nervous about meeting the Messiah. We really couldn't blame them, since they were preparing themselves to be purified, refined, and changed into new people by a powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. But when Jesus appeared on the scene, his arrival was not terrifying or threatening. Instead, it was rather peaceful and inspiring. Luke tells us that when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus was revealed to be fully human, baptized alongside all the people, and yet he was fully God. The beloved Son of the Almighty, he was and is the man in full. At the moment of his baptism, it's unlikely that Jesus or anyone in the crowd felt fear. More likely, Jesus felt a surge of acceptance and self-understanding, and the people around him felt awe and wonder. Acceptance and self-understanding, awe and wonder. These insights and emotions are repeated every time we experience or witness the sacrament of holy baptism. Yes, there is still purification and refinement that goes along with baptism, which the Apostle Paul describes as a dying and rising in Christ. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." But the dying and rising of baptism is not meant to be frightening or threatening. Instead, it is peaceful and inspiring, like the baptism that Jesus experienced. Baptism assures us of our acceptance by God, and it names us as children of God. It connects us to the body of Christ, makes us a part of a Christian community, and gives us new life. It leads to feelings of acceptance and self-understanding as we discover what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, God's family. Baptism starts us on a path to becoming the people that God wants us to be, men and women in full. Of course, baptism is just a first step into Christian life, just as Christ's baptism was his first step as he began his ministry. When people are baptized with the Spirit, they go out and they serve the Lord as people with new lives and new missions. This is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit gets a little scary, because the life of purification, refinement, and new life and bold mission isn't easy. It isn't easy on you. And it's certainly not easy on the world around you. Being a man in full or a woman in full requires an abandonment of the search for security and fullness of trust to follow Christ where he leads us, wherever that may be. It challenges people to embrace the world in love, to accept pain as a condition of existence, to see doubt and darkness as a cost of knowing, and to be stubborn in conflict, but also accepting of every consequence of living and dying. The cost of being full human is very high. so high that we encounter very few people willing to pay the price. But Jesus was a man in full. And we who are baptized into Christ are challenged to pay the price of a costly Christian life. We wrestle with questions such as, are we willing to take our baptism seriously and pay the price as living as a disciple of Christ? Are we able to abandon the search for security, embrace the world in love, and accept every consequence of living and dying? Jesus didn't seem to take too long to move from his Spirit-filled baptism to Spirit-driven mission. In the very next chapter of Luke, he goes to the synagogue of his hometown in Nazareth, unrolls a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The mission of Jesus was always focused on bringing fullness of life to the people around him, good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the captives. He knew that he could not be a man in full unless he worked for healing and wholeness for the sick and shattered lives that were around him. As Jesus later told his disciples, "I am among you as one who serves." When it comes to living a life in full, Jesus knew that it's better to give than to receive. He saw himself as a servant leader, and he challenged his followers to also be servant leaders. And there's where it gets so difficult for us. Following our own way always seems better than following in Jesus' footsteps, doesn't it? Isn't it more desirable to try to make something of ourselves? The world is full of people who think they have the right stuff, so they try to establish a name for themselves. They try to build a reputation around their keen business sense or even around their physical strength. But we know the proverb is true. Pride goes before a fall. And as we contemplate the baptism of Jesus and his commitment to serving the world, such contemplation stops us dead in our tracks, and we realize that we cannot ever become on our own a man or woman in full. But all that changes when we take our baptism seriously. Here's what happened to us when God washed us in the waters of baptism. Baptized into Christ, we bear the name that is above every name in heaven and on earth. He lives in us. We live in him. And therefore, we will never be spiritually bankrupt. We will never be weak. And while we are men and women in full through our connection with Christ, one day we will be complete in him. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And here's what follows is the important and empowering verse for true men and women in full. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is never in vain. Relying on Christ, we can live without fear of failure or meaninglessness. In Christ, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Even our weaknesses can be converted into strengths in Christ. Church, it's not time to be complacent in our Lord's ministry, to feel as though we are powerless to make a difference in God's kingdom, to squander the spiritual resources God has promised to give us so that we might bring others into his kingdom. Because of Jesus, you have the right stuff. Forgiveness, life, salvation, power from on high. In Christ, you and I are nothing less than true men and women in full. In Jesus, amen.